Let's start. This week's parsha is Parshas Tzav. Also, you probably have a chumash in front of you; might be helpful as well for some of this. But the I don't know, they're around, so whatever. This week's parsha is Parshas Tzav, and Parshas Tzav, like almost all of the parshas in the Torah, at the very end of each parsha, there's a little thing that says the siman or the gematria, and it gives you a word or a name or some words that are the gematria, the amounts of psukim there in that week's parsha. Why that's there, we'll talk about in a second. It happens to be, in this week's parsha, it says that the siman, the gematria, for Parshas Tzav is Tzav, because there are 96 psukim in the parsha, and the gematria of Tzav is 96, so it happens to work out with a fancy coincidence. However, the problem is that if you were to count the psukim in the parsha, you would note that there are in fact 97 psukim in the parsha, and not 96. I'm going to save you that trouble. I'm good, yeah. I'm going to save you that trouble. I'm fine. And let you know that there are, in fact, 97, not 96. So we're going to come back to that at the end, about that little discrepancy. But what we want to talk about is going to use that as an opening to talk about why are there these gematrias at the end of every parsha? What is the purpose of the Chumash printing them? Where do they come from? And what are they for? Now, the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. It went from generation to generation, being protected by Balei HaMasorah. Now, when we use the term Balei HaMasorah nowadays, we talk about, you know, great Torah authorities who protect our traditions, halach, and things like that. But in the context of Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Shebichtav, Balei Masorah, the leaders of the Masorah, is a very specific type of reference. The Gemara says in Erevin and Daf Yud Gimel, Kishabati Eitzel Rabbi Yishmael, when I came to Rabbi Yishmael Amar Ali, he told me, Bini, Mamalach Techa, my son, what is your profession? Amartilo Lavlar Ani. I told him, I am a sofer. I write Sifrei Torah. Amar Ali, Bini, Havizar B'malach Techa, be very careful in your profession. Shemalach Techa Melecha Shemaini, because your profession is the profession of God. Shema Atze Mechaser Osechas O Miyatzer Osechas. If you leave out a letter when writing a Torah, or you add an extra letter when writing a Torah, Nimseis Machrevas Kol Olam Kulo, it could be like you're destroying the whole world. Every letter of the Torah counts. Every word of the Torah counts. It's a big deal. You have to be very careful if you're a sofer. Says the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed, Lefichach Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The Rishonim, the earliest rabbis, were called Sofrim. Shayu Sofrim Kol Osir Sheba Torah. Because they counted all of the letters of the Torah, all the words of the Torah. Shu Omrim, Vav de Gachon, Chatzin Shal Osir Shal Sefer Torah. The Vav of the word Gachon is the middle of the words of the Torah. And Darosh Darash is the half of the Torah in words as well. Not in letters, that was in words. V'hiskaleach is Shal Psukim, the middle of Psukim of the Torah. Yachasemenu Chazir Meyar, the ayin of that word, of the word Yar, is Chasin Shal Tzim, is the middle of Tehillim. V'rachim Yechaper Avon, Chasin Psukim is the half of Tehillim in Psukim. Now, why that is important is not for right now. And also, not all of those seem to be correct according to Asafei Torah. Again, not our discussion. But again, we see that it's very important, and it's very important to Chazal, to have a number, a count of words, psukim, letters, when it comes to the Torah. Those Talmidei Chacham were called Balei HaMasorah. They kept track, as Torahs were written and given over and written again and given over, they kept track to make sure that all of the preservations of the Masorah stayed intact. Chaseros v'yaseros, words that were spelled missing letters, additional letters, kri or ksiv, the way words are spelled and pronounced, nekudos, tamim, the trup, pechusos, ustumos, how there are breaks in the Torahs that are smaller or big, all of those things were preserved with a passion by certain individuals to make sure that the Torah made it to this generation as we have it given by Moshe Rabbeinu. All the things, small letters, large letters, funny written letters, all those things are preserved by the Balei Masorah. Now, the two most significant of the Balei Masorah after the Gemara were two families. One family was called the family of Ben Naphtali, and the other family was called the family of Ben Asher. Those are the two groups of Balei HaMasorah that existed. And for hundreds of years, these families and their descendants were involved to make sure the Masorah was exact and correct. They counted how many times a word appeared, whether it was Malei, whether it was Chaser. They counted even how many times a letter appeared in the Torah. Everything was counted and documented, preserved to the best of their ability, in order to make sure that over centuries of copying Sifrei Torah, the Torah would be the same to the best of our ability. Now, between the schools of Ben Asher and Ben Naphtali, there are differences of opinions regarding the Psukim in Tanakh. One of the greatest of the Balei Diktuk, the greatest of the grammarians of Hebrew, was Rav Eliyahu Bachor. So and he has a sefer called Mesoras HaMesoras, and he says, and he goes to the Machlokas, and he says the Machlokas is not really between two families, but it's actually really a Machlokas between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. The Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael and the Gedolim of Bavel about how to preserve different traditions. The Mesorah of Ben Naphtali was from Bavel. The Mesorah of Ben Asher was from Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are hundreds of small differences between Ben Asher and Ben Naphtali. There are differences between the two traditions. Most of the differences are about trop, or whether there's a dagesh, or a certain nakuda. Nothing that is, you know, earth-shattering. But there are a few differences in the area of kriuksiv, pronunciation and written letters, and also different letters. There are differences. One of the most famous ones is probably whether the word pitsua daka is spelled with an aleph or a hey in the different traditions. But those are things that you can find in different svarim. We'll talk about Rav Mordechai Breuer in a second and his work, but in Rav Mordechai Breuer in his Tanakh, which I think is the standard Koran Tanakh, in his fancy edition, they will point out variances, things like that, between the two different Mesoras. Now, there's a sefer called the Sefer HaChilufim, or in Arabic, the Kasa'av al-Khalaf, which was written in Judea Arabic by Yisrael ben Uziel, lived about 1,000 years ago. So his work records the disagreement between Aaron ben Moshe ben Asher and Moshe ben David ben Naphtali, and how those disagreements were going on at their time regarding Nusach of Psukim. There's also a sefer called the Rishimas Haskamos, which records the different views of Bali Masora. Nothing that is too interesting unless you are really, really, really into this topic. Nothing that anyone's going to go buy or look up. You don't have to worry about it. The Gedolei HaDor established that the Masorah of Ben Asher was preferred over Ben Naphtali. That was established by all of the poskim. We prefer the traditions of Sifrei Torah Ben Asher that over the family of Ben Naphtali. I'll give you two examples you have in front of me. You see I'm not making it up. The Radak. The Radak writes in Tehillim in Perek Samach Beis, Umilas Tirtzachu is with a kamatz, Bereish under the Reish. So it's Tirtzachu. LeBen Asher, that's according to Ben Asher. Vumi binyan shalom nizkar pa'ulo mehadagush ki kamatz chataf ashuruk achadim binyan kamo kulo tfilos. He gives rise about different nekudos. We're not going to scare you and give you PTSD for your 11th grade dictative teacher. We're going to get past this. Lo karasarecha uben naftali kore tirtzachu bepasach haresh. Ben Naphtali has the word tirtzachu with a patach under the resh, now with a kamatz. V'anu somchem al kriyas ben Asher, says the Radak, we follow Ben Asher. That's our tradition. Not only the Radak, but the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Paraches, Lefi Shireisi Shibush Gadol B'chol Asvarim Shireisi B'dvar Me'elu. Says the Rambam, I've seen many mistakes in many Sefer Torah. V'chein Bali HaMesorah Shekosim Nechabrin Lahudia HaPesuchos V'asumas Nechum B'dvar Me'elu. And the different Bali Mesorah have differences over where there should be breaks and how the breaks should appear in Sefer Torah. B'machlokes HaSvarim Shesom Chaleim. There's a disagreement in the books which we rely upon. Reisi Lechtov Heina Kol Parshas HaTorah HaStumos V'apsuchos. The Rambam is about to make a giant list of all the open parshios, the big breaks, and the sumos, the small breaks that you have throughout an entire Sefer Torah. Petsuas Hashiros, how the shiros should be written, like Az Yashir, Kedei Lesaken Aleim Kol Asvarim Lagia Avem, so that people can make sure they have correct and proper Sefer Torah. V'Sefer Shesamachnu Aleinu B'Dvar Me'elu, and the book that we are relying upon, Hu HaSefer HaYadua B'Mitzrayim. It is the book that is known in Mitzrayim, Shukol Arbav Esrim Svarim. It has all 24 books of Tanakh. Shahayabri Yushalayim Mikam Shem. It was in Jerusalem for many years. Lagia Mimenu Asvarim. And that is what they would copy from. Well, Alav Hayu HaKol Somech. And it's this we rely upon. The Rambam is referring to the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex has its own controversies. After 1948, it went missing. Pages were stolen. Accusations of who stole it. That's a drama not for right now. But he's referring to the Aleppo Codex. Lefi shehegiu ben Asher v'diktek bo shanim harve. And that's the Masorah of who? Ben Asher. That's the Rambam says. We follow this. V'hegiu pa'amim rabos. K'mo sh'atiku alav v'samachti v'sefer HaTorah shechasavti al chilchaso. And we follow the Sefer Torah of Ben Asher. And that's how we paskin. Look at the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos. On Pirkei Avos, why? Says in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel. Mesoras Sayag LaTorah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that the Mesorah is a fence for the Torah. What does that mean? Obviously, Mesoris elu mali v'chaser. Mesorah means when words are spelled with an extra yud, a hey above, things like that, or chaser are missing. The tamem and the truf, shemasu chacham, the tabadim, the rabbis hand it over to their students. The heim saig l'torah shebichsav. These preserve Torah shebichsav, the written Torah. Shalotimse hasvarim chalukim, that we shouldn't have differences in Torahs. Kim b'makomos mu'atim, only in very small areas. Masha'in came b'sifri atam, look in the Gemara. Ki b'kama makomos ha'girsos mischafos. Gemara, ooh, every page of Gemara has different girsos, and the Bach, and the Gra, and there's a whole sefer called the Dikduke Sofrim, written by Rabbi Navish, which is all the different girsos and variations of the Gemara. It's all over the place. And people come up with their own svaras and they change girsos in the Gemara, and we discussed and we spoke about Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam by Shaul Shudis, and Rabbeinu Tam thought there should be change, and the Rashbam thought it shouldn't be changed. All types of changes. That is okay for a Gemara. That is not okay for a Sefer Torah. You cannot simply go and say, ooh, I think this sounds better. This is what he says as well. We have to make sure we have the right Mesorah as well. Bali HaMesorah were also the Gedolei Ador. And the Mesorah as we have today has been established, and we may not deviate from that Mesorah. Sometimes we have different texts from the Psukim that we have in the Gemara. That's a different shear as well. Sometimes the Gemara will quote a Pasuk, and Tosfos will say, but that's not what our Pasuk says. So then we have to figure out what's going on there. And Rabbi Kiva Eger has a comment in Gemara and Shabbos, and on the Gemara in Shabbos afternoon. Hey, he writes about this. That's also a shiur, perhaps for another time. One of the things that the Baal HaMesorah recorded was the number of psukim in each parsha. That was a 10-minute introduction. Now let's get to the point. The Baal HaMesorah wrote down how many verses there were in every single parsha. Why? Because they felt we have to make sure we have the right amount of breaks in the parshas, the right amount of psukim, right? It's important for Kriyas HaTorah. One of the only things we make, the only thing we make a Baal Kriya go back for when it comes to trap, is if he doesn't stop at the right place in the pasuk. If the Baal Kore doesn't end the pasuk in the right place, we make him go back because he's changed the meaning of the text. So knowing how many psukim there are and where they are is critically important. In order to remember the number of psukim in each parsha, so the Baal HaMesorah made a gematria. They made a mnemonic device with the number of psukim, and they recorded this gematria in their text. How do we see this? The Gemara says in Erev in Daf Nun Dalad, Amar Rav Chista, Ein Torah Nekneis Ela B'Simanim. Torah is not acquired unless you have Simanim. Simanim in the language of Chazal means mnemonic devices. Shneamar, Sima B'Fiem, you should place it in their mouth. Al Tikri Sima, don't say place Ela Simaneha. You should have Simanim. You should have mnemonic devices in your mouth to remember the Torah properly. So we see that simanim and the mnemonic devices of gematrias was a critical part of learning Torah even in the days of the Gemara. Not just to remember the planets or the different parts of the periodic table. So the mnemonic devices are critical aspects of being successful in learning and remembering Torah. The Baal HaMesorah gave their simanim with the names of people from Tanakh. Okay? A lot we're going to say right now is based on an article in the Sefer Yovel, the Jubilee volume, in honor of Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Breuer, who is a big expert in Tanakh. So the author of the article points out that you find that all the simanim are names of people. Go to any parsha, the siman is going to be the name of someone in Tanakh. And the Meiri, in his Kiryas Melech, so he spent a lot of time on Mesorah and tracking the psuchos and the stumos with the differences as well. He has many simanim for the words and letters as well. And he also says, Siman lahem b'shem Adam. The Amiri says all of the simanim, to remember the psukim of the parsha, is based on the name of a person. This is also noted by Relio Bachor as well. Perhaps the greatest signs of the chashivas of simanim as part of the Mesorah is a comment by the Minchas Shai. The Minchas Shai is one of the most important commentaries of grammar on Tanakh. So in Ezra, Perek Yud, Pasuk Mem, there's a list of those people who went from Bavel to Yerushalayim. And the list includes the following three names. Machnadavai, Shashai, and Sharai. Those are the three names. Not names that you hear at a bris so much anymore. But those are the three names of the list of many, many people who went from Bavel to Jerusalem in the returning of the Second Temple. On this, look at what the Mincha Shai says. He says, the name is Machnadavai, right? Besvarim Meduyakim Bekaf, Acher Hamem, Lobabes. He says, in carefully written books, it's a kaf, right, after the mem, and not a bez. Meaning the name is Machna Davai, and not mavna davai. V'raya gadola. And what is the greatest proof I can give you that the proper girsa is that the name should be machna davai and not mavna davai? Is because it says, harehu simon lepsuke parshas lachacha. If you go to parshas lachacha and you look at the simon for that parsha, the gematria is kuf chaf vav, 126. And the name that the Baal Masorah gave is Machna Davai. So it says the Mincha Shai, that's a proof that that must be the name. Because the Baal Masorah preserved thing better than anything else. And if that's the name for the gematria of Pesukah 126 in Parshas Lachacha, it must mean that's the name. That's how integral the gematrias of the Pesukim of the Parshas are. It's the fact that the Mincha Shai will paskin what is the right way to spell that word in a Tanakh. That's how critical it is. Okay, now, making a gematria for all the Parshas with the name in Tanakh is easier than it sounds. That's why most of the Simanim are actually not names that anybody's familiar with. Open up to any Parsha and look at any of the Simanim. They're all weird names that you've never heard of before and probably don't know anybody with that same name. Another challenge is that there are no Parshas of Psukim that are more than 200 Psukim. What does that mean? That means you cannot choose any names that have a Resh, a Shin, and a Saf, right? Because it's going to be impossible to take a gematria for that parsha. That cuts out a lot of names in Tanakh. No Resh, no Shin, no Saf. So you need to be a very big Talmud Chacham and no Tanakh, Baal Peh, in order to figure out a gematria to match the proper simon for that parsha. The Baal Masorah did not give the same name to parshios as well. There are a number of parshios in Zohar that have the same amounts of psukim. You can't use two names. That's going to mess up the whole mnemonic device. If one parsha has the gematria of Malkiel and another parsha has the gematria of Malkiel, well, that's not going to work. So you need to be able to figure out two names that are the same gematria for different parshios as well. It's not a simple thing. Only the Miri gives the name Simon to similar parshios, and he lists parshios that use simonim of a name that appear only once in Tanakh. Here, let's read this list before. I'll give you some examples. Parshas Lachacha, Machna Navai, Parshas Vayetzei Chalkai, Parshas Vayishach, some of them say Avi Asaf, Parshas Shmos is Madai, Salu, Snua, and Parshas Vayakel. Some of them say Ya'adu, Parshas Metzora, Elu Uzi, and Parshas Emor, Ya'al, and Parshas Ekev, and Gu'u'el in Vezos HaBracha. I assume you've heard of none of those people in Tanakh. They're all people who are listed in Tanakh, probably in Divrei Yamim or somewhere in Malachim, but they had to all be figured out in order to match up. They're all weird names because the rules for trying to fit it in are very limited. Besides this, there are names that appear twice in Tanakh as well. And when printing began, they stopped including the number of psukim in each parsha. The first time Simani Parshios were included in the printed Chumash was the first Mikros Gedolos, printed in Venice in 1525. And that Mikros Gedolos that was printed in Venice in 1525 is the basis for all future Mikros Gedolos that we still use. So that was the first time they were printed in the Chumashim. Now let's talk about that Mikros Gedolos. It's a fascinating history, which we're not going to go through all right now. But the fact how that Mikros Gedolos came to be impacts a lot of the things that how we learn Chumash. The Mikros Gedolos was edited by a man named Yaakov ibn Adonayahu, who came from Tunis to Venice. This man, Yaakov ben Chaim, was an expert in Masorah, and he collected and clarified the best nusach of the manuscripts that were available to him, and from the Ksavim, the writings of other Baalim Masorah. And he included what we call Masorah Katana and Masorah Gedola. What does that mean? Masorah Katana, we don't have, it's not printed anymore, but if you have an old Mikros Gedolos in your house, you might find this. There are little annotations next to the psukim. Small annotations about how many times a word appears, a pasuk appears, other places appears. That's what we call Masorah Katana. Masorah Gedola is a large essay format that goes on for pages and pages and pages that spells out all the Masorah of every Parsha and every Sefer and Chumash. Every single thing. And now is printed in the back of every Sefer. It was a very detailed work that went into all the details of all the things one needs to know about the Masorah. We no longer have that printed anymore. We don't print Chumash. You can find it in Sfarim that record the Masorah, but you will probably not have any Sefer in your house that will record the entire Masorah Gedola. It's just not used. Because essentially, that work was essentially included in the Mikros Gedolos we have, and there was no need to write it out. Right? That's like, it's essentially, it's like printing a phone book, for people who know what a phone book is. So it's like printing a phone book and then explaining at the end of the phone book how the phone book works. I don't need you to do that because I have everything right there. So there was no reason to print the Masorah Gedolah anymore, because if I have the proper text of Tanakh, why do I have to explain it if I have it in front of me? It contains essays called Chiluf HaTorah Bein B'nei Asher Bein B'nei Naftali, Differences between Asher and Ben Naftali, and other things like that. Look at Rashi in Shabbos, Daftan Hamabez. Listen to this Rashi. Omer Ani, Shetaus Gadolhu, there's a mistake here in the Gemara. Velogar Sin Allah Milsa Shahari Besvar Muhugaim Ksiv, Mahavirim, he quotes a different pasuk about Svarim that were corrected properly. Vegam Mesora HaGadola. Rashi quotes the Masorah Gedolah. B'makom shemunim sham kol tevos, where they count all the letters and the words, to loks of heim b'yud. It doesn't have it with the yud, and he goes on to explain. So Rashi obviously had the Masorah Gedolah in front of him when he was writing his commentary on the Gemara. And Yaakov ben Chaim, the editor of the Mikros Gedolos, so he edited, organized all of this, and he was the first one to print it. Yaakov ben Chaim has no disagreements in the Masorah regarding the psukim in each parsha. However, there are differences in the Masorah of which word should be used to make a siman, a mnemonic device, to that parsha. That there are differences. What is the best way to make a gematria, to remember the proper name of Sukkim, in that parsha? It's difficult to say that it's a machlokas, because what's the difference? As long as the gematria is correct, then who cares? So you use word A and I use word B. It's not really a machlokas, it's just, you know, different strokes for different folks of how they want to remember the different psukim in each parsha. Nevertheless, because of the disagreement, some mikros gedolos sometimes contain a few simanim. They'll say the siman is this or the siman is that. The siman is that one or it might be this one over here. Why? Because there were disagreements amongst different Bali Masorah, which is the best gematria to remember the simanim, the numbers of that parsha. Now, even though the Sefer HaChilufim and the Kiryas Sefer of the Meiri use the names of people for Pesukim, there are some Kisveya, there are some manuscripts of the Masorah that use phrases from that Parsha as the Siman and the Narav Pesukim. Brilliant. What a brilliant idea. They don't take a random name from somewhere in Divrei Yamim. They find a group of words in that week's Parsha that are in order, and they figured out that that group of words has the same gematria as the total psukim in that parsha. I'll give you an example. I brought some over here so you can see them. Parshas Noach, Avi Yiskalot, is the same gematria as psukim in the parsha. Parshas Lachacha, Nimalu. Parshas Vayetze, Machanayim. Parshas Miketz, Hili Eved. Parshas Shmos, Vayikach. All of those words are the number of psukim in that parsha. We really don't find that anymore, but that Masorah did exist as well in order to remember it. Okay, now, two more points, and then we'll come to a conclusion. Wolf Heidenheim, who was one of the greatest of the Balei Diktuk in the history of the Jewish people, lived in Germany, actually one of the This Week in Jewish History Parsha biographies was about him a couple of weeks ago in Shul. So Rav Wolf Heidenheim has a sefer called Ein HaSofer, and he writes about an improper minhag. There were people who, at the end of each chumash, they would tell you, they would make a siman how many chapters there are in that sefer. Gracious Shmos Vikra Medvar. What's wrong with that? Who came up with the chapters? The church. The church. The church came up with the chapters. So Rav Wolf Heidenheim, the Rav Wolf Heidenheim, so he thought that was disgusting. You're going to make a siman to remember the numbers of chapters the church came up with. Look at what he writes over here. He says, "Kvar kasav hamedatek Relio Halevi Bagdama Sifra Bachor." Relio Bachor writes, "Ki chaluchas hakapitala, the division of chapters, and then says hayam b'mikras hadavos that we find in the printing. Einenim mekubel satzayim mebalasara. This is not part of our Masorah. It comes from the church. Aval hi b'hamtzos hamatik harishon asher hatik Tanach b'loshen ivri, aloshen romi. It comes from the Septuagint, and it comes from the other works that were translated into Greek or Roman, or Latin. V'ramin atzorach lechalekas svarim lepiska piska lechalkam lepisa v'rasa v'kar m'shem kapitula. Originally, this is not the topic right now, but the church started doing this, they could engage in debates with Jews and be able to find the verse quickly in order to have debates back and forth about verses in Tanakh in order to try to missionize against the Jewish people. Hachalukas those built in Mikubel Setzlenu, says Rav Wolf Heidenheim. This is not part of our Masorah. You are taking that which is unholy and trying to make it holy. The Masorah, the preservation of Psukim, is a holy thing. The number of chapters in Tanakh is not a holy thing. And therefore he says, don't make something that's not holy into something holy and include it within the count of our Masorah. That was his critique. So what's with this week's Parsha? Parsha Tzav does not have Tzav Sukkim. Parsha Tzav has Tzav Sukkim, 97. So it's Parsha that there are 97 Sukkim. All the Chumashim say Tzav Sukkim, Tzav Simanim. However, the Sefer HaChilufim there has a different simon for Parsha Tzav. He says the simon for Parsha Tzav is Ovadja. That's what he says. The Meir in his Kiryas Sefer says the simon is Avajayhu, which is another name with just the letters spelled around. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Avijahu was the one appointed over the house of Achav, and that Ovadja is the same person. They're the same person, just the different spellings of their names. Perhaps according to the school that says the best simon is from the Parsha itself, they relied on Tzav as being one-off. We know in Gematria there's something called Im HaKolel. The Arizal writes about this, the Chida writes about this. I know for non-Gematria people, they find that infuriating. But there is an idea in Gematria that you can be one-off. That is part of the Masorah of Gematria. So the answer is, if it's what's better, to have a random name of a Jahu, or to have a name that connects to the Parsha itself? That's easier to remember. So you remember it's Tzav, Imakol it's one-off, and now Shalma Yisrael. That would be the easiest thing. That's probably the simplest understanding. But do you want a complicated understanding? I'm sure you do. So Rav Nassim Kamenetsky, who is the son, the brother of Shmuel Rav Binyamin, son of Yaakov Kamenetsky, so he was a fascinating individual with many, many different talents. So he has a sefer called Asufos Nichtavu, something called a sefer Asufos. It's a collection of different essays that he wrote over time and different interesting topics. So he wants to say as follows. He wants to say that Sav is referring to the second pasuk in the Parsha. Why?
What does it mean?
What he means is as follows. If you open up to Parsha Sav, so he says as follows. Parsha begins. Vayidbar Hashem Moshe le'emor. Tzav es Aharon ve'hasbanav, right? Tzav really begins the second Parsha, meaning that the pasuk going forward, from that word Tzav, there are 96 psukim. That's what he means. Vayidbar Hashem Moshe le'emor doesn't count. Why? Because that's everywhere. That's all over the place. That's not, obviously it's critical, and the Torah is possible, it's not written there. But says Rav Nassim Kamenetsky, when it says Tzav, what they're saying is, it's 96 psukim from the word Tzav. That's what he wants to say. And that's why it makes sense. That was his knetch, so to speak, on that shot. He has a longer piece about it as well. He goes into more depth about it, about when does Vayidbar Hashem Moshe le'emor count in the Masorah, when does not count in the Masorah, and all types of those questions. I'm just telling what he said. I just report the news. That's what he wants to say. Okay. Good. We'll stop here.